Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome back. Silver and Black today, Scott Branson and Mo Moten. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, by the way, at LVGully and at M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. Although Mo is no longer in the building. No, he's not. Instead, in his place, he might look the same on camera if you're watching or sound the same on voice if you're listening, but the man, the myth, has entered the room, the Swami of all Swamis, that is Mo Stradamus. He is a seer of things that the rest of us cannot see. He is someone who can predict many, many things that that seem to go against the grain. He just has that sixth sense. I don't know if he sees dead people, but he sees people who might be cut. He sees people who might not start or might start. That is Mo Stradamus, and we are back talking Raiders football. We're going to go through this segment, have a little fun, and see what Mo Stradamus has to say. Are you ready, Mo Stradamus?
Absolutely ready.
I feel
100%
like
ready.
I feel like you should have a hookah or something, like, you know, something that smokes up the room and makes it mystical.
I would, for the viewers, I would put on a do-rag with crystals on it, but I don't think the fans are ready for that yet. Maybe in a future show, you'll get the do-rag with the jewels and crystals on it.
Yeah, I think we should have do-rag shows. I'll wear one too. I only have like 12 of them upstairs. That's all good.
Oh,
so we'll do that. It'll be fun. Yeah, what are you talking about, man? Come on. All right, so Mo Stradamus is here, and we're going to ask Mo Stradamus some questions. So here we go, Mo Stradamus. We're going to ask you the game tonight in Canton, Raiders and Jaguars. Who shines in this game for the Raiders, and who whines, or who won't do so well? Who are we going to be talking about in the positive, and who are we going to be talking about in the negative?
I'll start with the good news, the positive. I think Anthony Averett's going to shine. If you've been watching this show, you know that I think Anthony Averett is basically going to be a Pro Bowl player this year. I'm joking. He's going to be good, okay? I think he's going to show up and show out. The two Butlers, Darian Butler, who I talked about in the previous segment, and Matthew Butler on the defensive line. With Jonathan Hankins and Bilal Nichols on the PUP list, Butler and Nile Farrow Jr. have had a chance for reps during the spring and during training camp, and I think Butler's going to be the guy. Burst through the line of scrimmage, get a sack, get a couple of tackles for loss. A lot of people will be talking about him. Now, you did say, as far as a guy who's going to whine, I don't want to say whine.
I know. It just rhymes. That's the only reason I did it.
And it's a tough call for me, but if I had to pick a guy that's not going to maybe not do as well as many people think he will, I'm still skeptical about Brandon Parker. I know Brandon Parker is being touted as the guy to start at right tackle, but I think if he struggles or if he's underwhelms, I think it'll force the Raiders to actually take a look at free agent tackles. Darrell Williams. But if Brandon Parker struggles, the Raiders then have to make a call for a free agent tackle, get some insurance there. And I think there could be some issues there because this is the preseason. This is the first game out. So guys aren't going to look as well as fine as they would during the season. He could get some hiccups here and there. And as we watch, Brandon Parker has struggled with pass protection, so I wouldn't be surprised to see it pop up again in this first preseason game.
Now, the only thing that surprises me with that, Mo Stradamus, is that kind of goes along with conventional thinking amongst Raider fans who don't like Brandon Parker for the most part. But I see your point, and even though I don't have your crystal ball, which if you're watching us on YouTube, you can see in the little graphic below us, I'm proud of that graphic. That's Kelly Kreiner. That says to me then that the hype machine was too high coming from media, right? And we talked about it last show, that sometimes that happens. It's just you're out there watching practice, ooh, 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 and then you get groupthink. I mean, it's nothing against the reporters because they're all great, talented folks for the most part, 9 out of 10 of them. But nonetheless, it just says to me that might be true, so I can see where you're seeing that as well. Okay, now we need you to look in your crystal ball and tell us who will – I mean, you talked about guys who will probably do well and maybe struggle, but who's going to surprise – who is going to surprise people to where they say, holy crap, I never even thought – that guy would play well, and there he is doing well out in Canton in the Hall of Fame game.
Meek Robinson wouldn't be the surprise. I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise for me because I'm still on the Meek Robinson bandwagon. I am not giving up on you yet, Meek. I think you're going to ball out tonight. The other guy that people aren't thinking about, T. Billy, Taron Johnson, who I believe Davante Adams spoke about him in one of his pressers. The Raiders don't have a lot of speed at wide receiver. They don't need it because Hunter Renfro and Davante Adams are ultimately skilled. But if you want a speed guy that can possibly make the roster, I think T. Billy, Taron Johnson, can make some moves, maybe have a big 50-yard reception, open some eyes, and maybe more people will talk about him because Mac Hollins has been all the hype during the offseason. A lot of people talking about Mac Hollins. I think Keelan Cole is going to be the wide receiver 3, but I can see Taron Johnson getting a spot in the back end of the wide receiver spot, contributing to special teams and being that big play receiver on the outside.
So you give Keelan that edge over the two veterans, Taron Johnson and also DeMarcus Robinson?
And Mac Hollins too. He's in that group. I think just Keelan Cole's production. He has experience being a lead wide receiver with the Jaguars when he first broke into the league. I believe it was 2017. So he has some productive years with the Jaguars. He had some flashes with the Jets last year. A lot of people aren't paying attention to that because the Jets quarterback situation is very yucky right now with Zach Wilson. But Keelan Cole had some production. I think based on his previous years, I think he has the edge to get that wide receiver 3 spot. Now, I just said Mac Hollins has had a lot of hype this offseason. He could be the guy. He has the size to make a difference in the red zone. DeMarcus Robinson, a backup for the Chiefs, he was spoke about this last week. He could be a playmaker. He's in the mix. But I think Taron Johnson having that speed makes him a unique weapon in that wide receiver room, and I think he could surprise a lot of people.
Very good points, Mr. Mostradamus. And I think with that one, my view is that we'll go through the entire preseason, and while somebody will be given the participation trophy of being the starter and being wide receiver 3, I believe that we're going to see by committee there through the first few weeks of the season until somebody can emerge. Because I think it's going to be so competitive that it might take a little longer to do that. But that's a good problem to have. And one of those guys will emerge from that with the long-term starter role. All right. So we fast forward, and we don't like to try too often to go to what we would consider a negative. But listen, it's part of the business. Part of these preseason games is to help these teams whittle down their rosters, right? We talk about guys that we like here that we think will make the roster, perhaps start. But Mo, if you have to think about going in what we've heard in camp, and of course, everybody's got an opportunity tonight in Canton to play and play hard and make a roster, or at least stick around a little bit longer. But if we're looking at, we wipe our eyes and rub our eyes in the morning tomorrow on Friday and wake up getting ready for the weekend, and the waiver wire starts moving for the Raiders, who could be the first guy of any kind of substance that you feel is cut?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is going to sound like a bit of a cop-out. I actually don't think anyone is going to get cut immediately after the game unless that player makes an egregious error. Like there's a penalty or unfortunate guy gets hurt and you have to waive him with an injury designation. I don't think anyone's going to get cut because the first round of cuts isn't until August 16th. So you still have one more preseason game with the Vikings before you have to cut down the rest to, I believe, 85 players. So again, unless there's an egregious error, I don't think anyone's going to get immediately cut after the game. Now, again, if you see a penalty where there are multiple false starts for, I don't know, Alex Bars, I'm just throwing Alex Bars' name out there. Don't take it to the bank. Don't tweet at him. They said Moe's said you're going to get cut. But just using him as an example, if a back-end roster guy, if one of your third stringers has a bad personal foul, has multiple penalties, that guy is probably going to get cut in the next 2-3 days.
Yeah, and understood that. And yeah, they have time to make cuts. But then again, you know, there's opportunities if they go out and sign people, especially you're talking about Williams at the offensive line or Ndamukong Suh on the defensive line, which depends on what they see.
Pierre Paul
as well. Absolutely. Nobody's talking about that still. I thought after the show came out on Tuesday, we'd get a little buzz around that because nobody's really talking about him with the Raiders. So we might have to get you to trumpet a little more because I think it's a good
call. You know what's funny, though? When it does catch wind, they'll go, oh, Mo, you stole that take from someone else. Nope. I had Jason Pierre-Paul on the Raiders' radar on Tuesday. If you remember, you can wind back the tape. I said it. Jason Pierre-Paul, also the column is up on Sportsnet. I said he's one of the free agent targets that I would want on the Raiders, one of three. Darrell Williams, Ndamukong Suh, who you just mentioned, are the other two.
Yeah, and we'll see how that line, that defensive front, does against the Jaguars tonight for that one. All right, will Derek Carr, Mostradamus, throw a pass in this game?
On the sideline to one of his buddies, maybe to Devontae Adams, while they're watching the game, but not on the field of play. I mean, most coaches will tell you this, that the practices mean just as much, if not more, than the actual preseason game. So a lot of people are saying Derek Carr should get a series because it's a new system. He's been in the league for 9 years. He's seen it all. He's getting the install at the practices. He doesn't need to play in a live game where guys can actually hit him. Just keep him on the sideline. Keep him in bubble wrap. He can throw some passes to Devontae Adams and Mac Hollins and Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller on the sideline as they all watch the game comfortably in safety.
There you go. And I agree with that 100%. You said last show, wrap him in bubble wrap. I wouldn't like you said, have him in the corner in his dress clothes, surrounded by like a pool of yellow jacket security guards. Nobody gets within 20 yards of your starting quarterback in a game like this. I agree 100%. Okay, now we look at the Raiders offensive line. Will the Raiders offensive line have an unforced pre-snap penalty?
Oh, yeah, I think that's going to happen. And that's not a shot at the Raiders offensive line. I think this is what their preseason is for, to work out the kinks and work out the errors. So you're going to have mistakes. This is the first game. These guys haven't put on the pads and played in a game in how many months? Seven months. So, yes, there are going to be mistakes. They're going to be unforced errors. And that's what the Raiders have been working hard to fend against during camp. But you're going to get it on the field during live action. You just hope that you can go back to the drawing board and correct those mistakes.
There you go. Yes, absolutely. And if it's Brandon Parker or Alex Leatherwood, Twitter will explode instantly, which you know is going to happen too.
Twitter will the first false start for Brandon Parker or Alex Leatherwood, cut him. We got to bring in Darrell Williams. Now, I think the Raiders should bring in Darrell Williams anyway. But that first false start, that first holding,
I told you,
that first flag up.
I told you he sucks.
He's a bum. Get rid of him. And I will say on Twitter, I know I'm going to have to say this on Twitter 5 times.
Yeah.
This is the preseason. This is the time where you're going to make your mistakes. It's going to happen.
Of course. And that's the thing too. I mean, it's not week one against the Chargers. You know, this is where you get the kinks out. The whole point. I mean, they're glorified practices and scrimmages. Okay, yeah, everybody's dressed up like they're going to a cocktail party, but in reality, they're just staying home eating mac and cheese and having a beer. So it's pretty straightforward, and you should not read too much into it. We can read some from it, progress on players and how they're doing, but we shouldn't read too much into it. But fans will, because they're emotional and they're invested, so I get it. Now, this is one of the other predictions I need from you, which is the announcers. This is a national game, of course, one of the national games for the Raiders this year, I think 4 of them. Will the announcers refer to the Raiders as Vegas or Las Vegas more?
Ooh, I think Vegas. Because it just sounds shorter. Cooler.
It sounds
cooler. Shorter and it just sounds cooler. Vegas. Vegas Raiders. You know, like, yes. It just sounds better. Even when I write columns sometimes, I just put Vegas. After the first, this is going to be boring
reference?
For people who don't care about, yes.
That's
people,
not AP style, mister. That's not AP style.
It's not, but I try to get away with it on Sportsnet where I just say Vegas because it just sounds cooler.
Yeah. And it's so funny, too, because my wife is a Las Vegas native. And if you talk to Las Vegas natives, they hate it. Then the NHL team, the Golden Knights, they left it off, too, in their official name, Vegas Golden Knights. They're not Las Vegas Golden Knights. They are the Vegas Golden Knights. So it's interesting. And I think you're right. I think people even broadcast, like, hey, Vegas. Hey. You know, it's Las Vegas. Now, yeah, you don't say that with other teams. But it's the same thing when announcers, hey, we're in L.A., right? It's not a slight on the city. It's not them being lazy. It just kind of flows better.
Yeah, no offense to any Las Vegas residents who are listening to the show. I will say Las Vegas. I almost said it. Yes, I did. But I will say Las Vegas on the show, but no offense. It's just, again, it just has a cool ring to it. That's all.
Will anyone, I know it's been three seasons now, or we're into our third season, but will anyone call the Raiders Oakland on this broadcast?
Not on this show, but on the broadcast, I guarantee you it's going to happen because some people still say the San Diego Chargers.
Yes.
You know, so that Oakland Raiders name is not going to die. I'm sure Oakland people in Oakland who are listening to the show are pumping their fists right now. And you're going to hear it. I think if I had to set the over under, I would say twice. You'll probably hear it two or three times if I'm going to push or over. You're going to hear Oakland Raiders a couple of times on that broadcast.
Probably from an aging referee. That's going to be my guest. Holding Oakland, right? That tends to be where you hear it mostly. Even the San Diego ones, it's the same thing. Tends to be the referees because they said it over. I mean, they're speaking publicly and they say it over and over again like broadcasters do too. But it'll be interesting. Okay, so now I know it's not the result of the game at the end of the day doesn't really matter. But Raider fans are really competitive. They want to win every game they can. Who wins this game by the time we get to third and fourth stringers and they're playing it out at the end of this game and everybody's filtered out of the stadium already as well in Canton, who's going to win this game?
Don't forget, Scott, this is also for Kelly Kreiner, who's a degenerate probably betting on this game. But I will say, go ahead.
No, I was going to say he's probably betting on all sorts of stuff related to the game.
I think he's betting the under in this game, by the way, which is just a
good he is.
Bet,
he
by
mentioned
the way.
It on Twitter.
I think the Raiders win this game simply because not because this is a Raiders show, but because they have competitive battles at some key positions. We talked about the wide receiver spot. We talked about the cornerback position. Even Jarrett Stidham, they're saying, has a potential chance to win the primary backup quarterback job over Nick Mullins. So I think it's going to be very competitive at those spots. It's going to get the Raiders to put up a lot of points. Who surprisingly are pretty much set on a defensive side of the ball. They do have some questions at wide receiver, Laviska Shenault Jr. Will he be a factor in that group? Because Zay Jones is now there, former Raider. Now penciled in as a starter, as we just said, preseason depth charts don't mean anything. They paid him $24 million over 3 years.
Yeah, they gave him
so
the money.
They
good
have some questions, right? Right. Thanks to Derek Carr too, by the way.
Yes.
But
yes.
The Jaguars have a question there, but they don't have as many questions at key positions as the Raiders do with guys of quality competing. So I think that will be the edge. And I think the Raiders win by a touchdown.
There you go. And again, I think that battle for the backup quarterback, we talked about it. Mullins having the edge there, and I would be shocked if it's not him. But you never know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Stidham comes out, and I think this is a little bit of, I know it's less than the regular season, but this is a little bit of the excitement to watch those two guys compete because there's no more question about who the quarterback's going to be in Las Vegas for the time being, right? And so we don't have to go through all that rigmarole we've had the last couple of years. But that backup position, now that Mariota's gone and starting in Atlanta between Stidham and Mullins, is very interesting to me because I just want to see, and I want to see how Stidham does. Because even if he's the third quarterback, he's a guy that obviously Josh McDaniels likes. And if you're going to develop a quarterback of the future, or maybe a bridge quarterback for when Derek Carr steps aside eventually and they have to go draft somebody, it's just good to see these guys develop and understand. Also, knock on wood, it's just part of the game, injuries. Derek Carr's got to go out for a quarter, for a half, for a game, for 2 weeks, whatever. You want to see what's there to keep that machine rolling. So it'll be exciting to watch those guys. Well, Mostradamus, thank you for blessing us with your presence and your predictions.
You can take all those to the bank if you guys want to make some extra cash. I threw out some nuggets there. I said Raiders by a touchdown. You know, I had a sack for Matthew Butler. There are player props available. Just, you know, keep that in your back pocket if you want to win some extra cash today.
Use the code Mostradamus to get your... No, I'm just kidding. we got to get that. We should get that moving. But the other thing is, on Saturday, Mo, in addition to the Hall of Fame induction, another massive national event that everyone must pay attention to, which is the Silver and Black Today Fantasy League Draft, which we now know the draft order. Do you want to talk about the draft order?
I'll let you go ahead, Scott, and dig into that.
So, and I we did random draft order. We're doing it on Yahoo. For you guys that know, you met the folks that are in our league. We're playing myself, Mo, Kelly, and our producer, David Stepanian, are playing against listeners. You can watch the show a couple times ago to see them, but we'll be talking to them. We'll be talking to Kelly as well starting next week, because on Tuesday we'll have a post draft segment here with Kelly, and we'll see if he had a good weekend betting. He'll be really happy. If he hasn't, then he'll be funnier because he'll be ornery. But we did a random order and I got the first pick. To which Kelly, of course, then starts to accuse me of trying. I'm like, dude, it's random. I can reset it and randomize it again. And I asked everybody, they didn't care. So anyway, I am first, and Mo is number 12.
In the draft, of course.
The first round. So I don't actually like the first pick because, you know, it's in fantasy football, it doesn't matter as much. It's not like real football. You can do a lot in the middle. I like being in the middle of the round, actually, especially when you flip it and you're going into the second round and you're drafting again. I hate drafting first, or like you, 12th, because then you got to wait all that time. Now, we did turn on trades of draft picks. Once the draft starts, we can actually trade picks, but they're only for picks next year. That's how Yahoo does it. So it'll be interesting to see, but I am all ears. No, we'll see what happens. But anyway, that's the draft order, and everybody's gunning for Mo, as we know, because he's cocky when it comes to fantasy. It's the only thing he's cocky about. He's confident when it comes to his writing ability, but Mo, number 12, what are you thinking in that spot? Give us a little hint.
Scott, thanks for trying to sabotage me and stacked against me. It's only going to make my victory that much sweeter when I go undefeated and I raise the trophy and everyone's looking up at me as the Vince Lombardi of fantasy football yet again. Even with the 12th pick, I will still dominate everyone in the league. Mark it down, book it.
Wow. Doesn't we can matter. Even do a mockumentary. Even though he had the 12th pick. He came.
That's
from
a 30 for 30 episode.
It's a 30 for 30 episode. Yes.
That's a 30 for 30 right there.
But it's fun. But anyway, we will get you the results of our fantasy draft on Tuesday. We'll have Kelly on for our final segment of the show and we'll talk about that. But seriously, Mo, good luck with pick number 12. It's still the first round. It's fantasy football. My best picks always come in the second, third, and fourth round anyway. So it'll be interesting. And I don't like the pressure of having the first pick because it's like, every time I've had a first pick, I pick a guy like McCaffrey a couple years ago, injured, right? A couple years before that, another player was one of the not quarterbacks, it was another running back, injured. It stinks. But anyway, we'll deal with it, and I will
say this, though. I'm well prepared for this because I've actually been sabotaging another league where I was the 12th. I had the 12th pick, so
yeah,
I'm used to this unfair treatment by now. It's like Raider icons who should have been in the Hall of Fame long ago. I'm used to this type of treatment. And I shall still overcome.
So you're sort of like the Al Davis of this fantasy football league because you're fighting all the powers that be. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's absolutely right. It's only fitting. It's only fitting.
All right. Well, we'll have fun with that. We'll see how everybody does. I'm sure Kelly will have his draft grades. And I don't know how biased they'll be. They'll probably be pretty biased. But we'll have fun with that anyway. But Mo, looking forward to watching the game tonight. We're also going to be doing a post-game show after the game, which you'll see on YouTube right away, and then you'll see here on audio on Friday morning. So make sure you stay with us there. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Also subscribe to the podcast. Mo, enjoy the game, buddy, and we'll talk to you afterwards.
All right. Take care, everyone, and enjoy the game. Try not to bust a blood vessel. It's just a preseason. Remember that. First game.
Yes, it is. All right, there you go. That has been Silver and Black today. We are an Odyssey Original Podcast. For Mo Moten, for our producer David Stepanian, I am Scott Branson. Thanks, Raider Nation. Take care of one another, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Excuse me. Yes, tomorrow if you're listening on audio. Tonight on video. So we'll talk to you post-game. Take care, everybody, and enjoy the Hall of Fame game in Canton. Take care.